This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker at Donuts on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good. How's yourself?
I'm doing all right. Also joined by Taylor Pate at Taylor L. Pate. How you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome.
So, originally we weren't planning to have a podcast today, but we kind of have to now because of this Harden extension. And, to be honest, like, this isn't a surprise that they agreed to extension because we heard reporting about it earlier. But the fact that they were able to get it done and the fact that this contract extends to Harden's 33, he's 27 right now. So the Rockets are going to have him for six more years. And his contract's ridiculous, $228 million combined for the next 6 years. And he's going to be 33, and he's going to be earning like $47 million in that last year. He's probably the most paid player in the NBA right now. He's passed up the career earnings of LeBron James already, which is insane. And he's projected to pass by like a whole bunch of other superstars. I think this is a good thing. Like, locking up a Hall of Famer in his prime for several years is never a bad thing, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's also kind of uncommon now.
People don't want to be on the hook for the long term in case they some bad things happen.
Yeah, and Harden's going to have the only contract that extends to 2023, which is insane. Like, he's going to be he's the only one on the books for that year right now. That could change. Russell Westbrook could sign an extension. He's up for that insane supermax. He got grandfathered into the DPE. So, I mean, it's very possible that he's next. I mean, that's kind of what happened last year when the Rockets went ahead and renegotiated and extended. The Thunder did the same thing with Russ for a shorter deal, granted, but like it's still possible. But I mean, it shows more than anything that he wants to be here. I mean, the first line in his presser was, you know, Houston's home for me. And like, I mean, he seems to like the organization. He loves Les. He loves the front office. I think even when he got interviewed in that strange, award show with Drake, like the first thing he talked about was the front office and the culture and stuff. So, I mean, like, that's, I mean, it's a good thing. I don't think it's just about the money. It may be a huge incentive behind this, but I do think he genuinely wants to be here for that long. The team definitely puts an effort in to be really aggressive and surround a quality team around him. And, you know, it's just nice to have a superstar in his prime locked up for that long.
This was a big piece of news for me. I think this was bigger than anything else from my perspective, because I think it's a huge positive sign about the state of the franchise in general. This is exactly the way that you want your team to look if your team is trying to actually take positive lessons away from other teams in the league, most notably the Spurs, who are a model of stability. But all the good organizations have certain hallmarks of them, and this is a big one. Being able to reward your star player, like, not only does this show that they are willing to commit to him long term and have been doing so repeatedly. Like, you remember, I'm sure you guys both remember the time when the Rockets were chided for not signing their free agents back soon enough, because their policy was that they wanted to sign they didn't want to extend people before the contract was up because of flexibility. That's not happening here. They have been with James Harden, extending him as early as possible, as often as possible, because they know what they have. So this is fantastic from an organizational standpoint. It shows good players around the league that the Rockets will take care of them, that they're going to commit to them. They committed to Daryl Morey and to James Harden. We'll see what they do with Mike D'Antoni, but they just hired him, so it's a little early for that. I mean, this is a sign of stability and willingness to pay that rings true to a lot of people around the league. This shows that you're going to know what you're going to get with the Rockets for years. For years, this is going to be James Harden's team, and it's going to be Daryl Morey's team. It's going to be Les Alexander's team, and you know what they're going to do for you. They're going to pay their agents. This is not only just a good sign to other players, but it's a good sign that James Harden was willing to make this extension. It shows that he also is willing to commit, and he probably would have been better off waiting a little longer, but he wanted to be on the same page, apparently, which is good. The fact that they're able to convince him to do this now shows that they are on the same page with him. This is a massive shout to the world that this is a top-flight organization. I think it's nothing but humongously positive. It makes me feel really good about their future prospects, and I think this is sort of this team arriving at being one of the big boys in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, you always have that baseline with Harden at probably, you know, at worst, you're going to be maybe an 8 seed, which, you know, we saw 2 years ago, but that was, you know, that's like the worst possible scenario that could have happened. And I think that the, you know, we have Chris Paul now here, and we'll probably see an extension, or not an extension, but a new deal for him at the end of next year. And I would imagine that's probably going to line up right with the end of Harden's deal. And so you kind of have, you know, the organization showing the rest of the league, the other players in the league, hey, look, we've got, you know, two Hall of Famers that want to be here. And that's a big deal for an organization like the Rockets, who, you know, even though they're the fourth largest city in the United States, it's still kind of like a small market team to an extent. But that, you know, should change with the notoriety of Chris Paul here now, and having James Harden here, and both of them seem to be, you know, or Harden seems to be a growing star in the league, and Paul is obviously a huge star in the league already.
Yeah, I completely agree with you guys. This is a definite positive step for the image of the organization. There was immediately a lot of positive press that happened just after Harden shortly signed his extension. I mean, obviously, this is a guy that's continually in the MVP race year after year after year. He's gonna get you 27-7-6. He's gonna win games. He's never missed the playoffs in his entire career, which is still insane. Like that's a stat that's not touted enough about James Harden. The fact that he's never missed the playoffs since he's entered the NBA. It's ridiculous. Like, you're guaranteed to make the playoffs with James Harden. That's even if your year goes to crap. Like, you're gonna be an 8 seed. You're gonna be an 8 seed. You're never gonna go below 500 with James Harden, because he's never done that in his career. The Rockets have won 61% of their games since James Harden's got here. They were their prior three seasons, they only won 50% of their games, and, you know, he made them a winning organization again. James Harden makes you relevant, right? Being a Rockets fan pre-James Harden was kind of depressing. I mean, you were waiting for that guy to come. You were kind of an irrelevant franchise. You barely missed the playoffs every year. You never really had a fighting chance, even if you made the playoffs. And like when James Harden came, it kind of changed all that. This is why it took Daryl Morey so long to get a James Harden on the roster. And now that he's got him, he's not going to lose him. He's not letting James Harden go. He knows what he has. He knows how good James Harden is. James Harden's one of the five best players in the NBA. You don't lose guys like that. You know, he's one of those guys where you place him on any team, any random team, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs because he's that good. He's going to get you the playoffs. There's only a handful of guys you can say that about in the NBA. You know, LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, etc., right? There's only like a handful of guys you can say that about. And James Harden's one of them, and you just don't want to lose one of those guys. As far as the image of this franchise, again, like as Forrest said, like this, I do think this helps the Rockets lure free agents. One of the biggest steps that I think is going to come from this immediately. Like, next summer, I mean, this sent a huge message to Chris Paul, you know, who's a free agent next summer, that, hey, as long as you're here, James Harden is going to be here. Even if you sign a long-term contract, James Harden's going to be here throughout the entire length of that contract. And he's going to be there, and you're going to be a contending team for that entire length of time, if this works out, right? And also for other free agents that may want to come to the Rockets, you know, if the Rockets go free agent hunting again next season, let's say they don't get Melo and they have to go again next summer to get their third guy. I mean, this is kind of like, this is really, really ideal that you have your face of the franchise locked up. Really great positive move. I mean, if you're a critic of this move, I mean, let me remind you where the Rockets were before James Harden. Luis Scola, Kevin Martin, Kyle Lowry, you know, Courtney Lee. That was your team. You had a ragtag bunch of guys that fought every night, granted, but they weren't going to really win you anything of significance. And James Harden has done that. He's gotten you to a Western Conference Finals. He's gotten you to the second round. And, you know, like, there's this notion that if you don't win a championship, you're an irrelevant player in this NBA and you're not worth the money you're signed for. That's ridiculous, man. Especially if you're in the Western Conference, man. Like, it's only one team out of 30 wins an NBA championship every year. It's really freaking hard to win one. And to say that only max players, you know, max players have to win championships. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. It's really, really hard to win an NBA championship. And he's definitely somebody who increases your championship odds. Positive mood all around. Cosign. It's a good move. It's a good move for the Rockets. Harden's going to be a Rocket, presumably, unless the franchise decides to trade him, which I don't see coming, till 2023. And that's really good for this franchise. Let's go ahead and talk about some other moves the Rockets may be making. Carmelo Anthony. So our last podcast was kind of a negative podcast. I talked about, you know, all the potential the downfalls of acquiring a Carmelo Anthony, and I felt like I was being too negative. I felt like I was being too close-minded. I felt like I wasn't looking at the other side of the coin. That's why I brought in Taylor, and that's why we have Forrest back on, because he's a little bit more positive on the subject than I am. And we're going to talk about this because, you know, signing Carmelo Anthony does give you a higher upside than trading for Carmelo Anthony. And that's a fair argument, and there are a lot of fair arguments, and we're going to discuss them. So, Taylor, signing Carmelo Anthony, why are you for this, trading for him?
I think that the biggest reason is that at the bare minimum, you're upgrading Ryan Anderson. Now I know Ryan Anderson does bring you some things that Melo probably doesn't, like, you know, shooting from 4 feet behind the 3-point line. But that, when you really equate the two things, the other things that Melo adds that Ryan Anderson can't do, like attacking closeouts or even posting up or being even passable on defense. I know Melo's certainly by no standards a great defender, but I mean, I'm pretty sure I could do a better job guarding people than Ryan Anderson. I think you just raise that ceiling, you know, even if it's, you raise it 10% more, 15% more, that's going to be the next step to getting you that much closer to the Warriors. And, you know, it takes star power to beat the Warriors. I mean, that's what they have, and that's what you need to beat them. So I think that bringing in as much talent as possible, because on any given game, you know, Carmelo Anthony is capable of scoring 45, 50 points. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it's certainly possible with Melo. That's something you're probably not getting from Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, you also get what they call star power, which is a very vague and generic thing to say. But there is definitely a versatility that you don't have. I mean, there's a reason that Melo was a cornerstone player a while ago. You know, with Ryan Anderson, he's a very one-dimensional player. He's a system player. and you have to raise, you have to sort of break the system, make a new system, I guess, to if in this situation. I think, honestly, if the Warriors didn't exist, I would not be into picking up Carmelo Anthony at all. I would think that, no, this is a good system. You know what you're getting. You don't want to, like, have a chance of breaking everything just so you can be a bit better. They're already a contender. Stick with it. But
I would agree with that.
Yeah, but they need to raise that ceiling right now. They have no choice. They have to take a risk and see if Carmelo Anthony can add a dimension of scoring and some potential upside on defense that they just don't have with Ryan Anderson. They've been backed into it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, all fair and valid arguments. I do agree. Carmelo Anthony is a talent upgrade over Ryan Anderson. That doesn't necessarily mean I'd rather have Carmelo Anthony over Ryan Anderson personally, but I mean, that's a fair argument. I can't really dispute that. Carmelo Anthony can attack closeouts, and Ryan Anderson frankly can't. He's a little bit more explosive than Ryan Anderson, and you can't dispute that. Ryan Anderson's a little bit of a better shooter, but I mean, the discrepancy is not really that noteworthy if you take into account catch and shoot, and you know the amount of talent Carmelo Anthony would have around him, and the amount of space. That's a fair argument. What I would ask of you guys is, like, how good do we think Carmelo Anthony is at this point in his career? Like, is he a top 50 player? Is he a top 25 guy? Do we think his talent's potentially being buried in New York?
Everything is being buried in New York. He's definitely being buried there. Like,
the only thing not being buried is James Dolan in New York.
That's the main thing that needs to be buried. Yeah. I think that he definitely will do better elsewhere. How much better is the question, but there's no way he would be used worse in Houston than in New York.
Yeah, I don't think it can get much worse for Melo. I think it only goes up from this point. He's obviously not happy. He's been about as professional as you can be about it for the most part. But, you know, with the way that Phil Jackson handled things, with the way that Dolan is handling things, being in that environment, it can't possibly be healthy for him. And being around friends, you know, guys that he likes and has obviously worked with before on, you know, Team USA and stuff like that. It's a whole new environment, and it could be a big breath of fresh air for him.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he wants to come here is actually a big positive sign that he's willing to maybe adjust his game, which is my biggest thing. You know, like, Melo's played, I checked yesterday, he's played 1,000 games in the NBA. And like, through those 1,000 games, he's played a certain, you know, he's played a certain way his entire career. And that's kind of why I'm hesitant to believe he changed. But, I mean, the fact that he's willing to go to a team where he's clearly not the number one guy, he's clearly not the number two guy, that's a real positive sign that maybe he adjusts his game to become quote-unquote Olympic Melo, right? That's what, you know, Melo believers will sell you, Olympic Melo, right? This guy that understands his role, a really great combo forward, who can attack closeouts, spread the floor really nicely, and is really deadly off the dribble when he has a lot of talent around him. Right, and I think that's kind of what the Rockets are trying to probably sell their fan base. That Melo's a different guy, and this organization's valued Melo for a long time. I mean, before the Rockets even got James Harden, they've chased Carmelo Anthony. This is, like, you can look this up on, like, Real GM. Like, this is you know, public record. The Rockets were in trade talks to acquire Carmelo Anthony when he was with the Nuggets. When the Rockets had an insane amount of assets and nobody to really spend it on, you know, and Carmelo Anthony really wanted to go to New York, and the Rockets probably didn't want to use those assets on Carmelo Anthony. So, I mean, there's a history. And if you just count, like, when Dwight Howard was here, the Rockets chased Carmelo Anthony again. If you remember that infamous Jeremy Lin debacle where, you know, he was wearing, the Rockets set up a poster of Carmelo Anthony outside the locker room. And it said the strive for greatness or something like that. And it had, like, Carmelo Anthony was wearing Jeremy Lin's number, and that caused quite a stir. And yeah, I mean, this organization's loved Melo for the longest time, and the fact that, you know, Daryl was really interested in him, really intrigues me, right? Like, I'm not going to lie, that intrigues me because Daryl Morey is really good at these reclamation projects. He finds guys that are undervalued around the league, and I do think it's possible that Carmelo Anthony is undervalued by guys like me. Like, it's possible that Carmelo Anthony is undervalued in a way that his environment significantly decreases his value, right? In the same way that Mike D'Antoni's environment when he was in New York significantly decreased his value. And a new environment could significantly make him better, like legitimately better as a player, and that's the argument you got to make, right? That's the kind of bet the Rockets are making here, that he's a better player than what we've seen the past 4 years. Because what we've seen the past 4 years is really depressing. I actually have to watch the Knicks because I like watching Kristaps Porzingis, and he's made me really invigorated to watch the Knicks. So I mean, I've seen this, right? Like he just looks sad. He just looks sad in New York, like visibly sad, and his teammates look sad to be with him. It's a really depressing scenario there. They had to run this cryptic offense that's, you know, as old as time, and it's obviously not working in the modern NBA. And now, I mean, in a new run and gun offense, I think it's fair to say that, you know, maybe he'd excel. You know, like, the pace was really slow in New York, and in a better pace, he'd have better numbers. He'd play a different style. He wouldn't take as many mid-range shots, which is one of my biggest detractors of his game. He'd probably take a lot more threes in the Rockets, he'd play a totally different way. And which brings me to my next point. Do we believe that he can suddenly get over this Mike D'Antoni thing, right? Because this is something, this is one of my other concerns, right? Mike D'Antoni and him did not get along. Notably, we talked about in the last podcast, Mike D'Antoni resigned because of Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony went to the organization and said it's either me or him. And Mike D'Antoni, frankly, didn't want to deal with that, and he resigned. And and he made it clear that, you know, he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to work with me. I don't want to work with him, right? And do we think Mike D'Antoni and Carmelo Anthony can potentially resolve that? Because that's been a real hot topic among the national media and local media. This is something everybody's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I was gonna say that you were talking a while ago about trying to get New York or Olympic Melo, not New York Melo. They need Rockets Melo, so which is neither of those things. So, but yeah, that's a good question of can they get along. I'm willing to defer to their judgment, I guess, is the short story. What do you guys think?
I mean, yeah, I think that if, especially with what D'Antoni was talking about on the podcast the other day with Howard Beck, I mean, he said people change, and obviously, you know, Coach D'Antoni, he's one of the most, as he put it, mellow guys, you know, especially when it comes to dealing with temperaments and stuff like that. I mean, he's a very, you know, everywhere that he's gone, he's never waited until the team that fired him or anything like that. He's always said, okay, you know what, I'll go in peace. I'll walk away. He's very laid back, and you can hear that in just the way that he talks about, you know, pretty much everything. And if he says that, you know, that everything has changed and that, you know, it's been a long time since then, I certainly don't have any question that he will do what it takes to make it work. And I think Carmelo Anthony's in a lot different place than he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, where he was then trying to take the Knicks to a championship to, you know, now just, you know, going out and hating everything that he's doing for the Knicks and probably not even wanting to perform for them. You know, so I think that the fact that, you know, Carmelo Anthony is in the stage now where he wants to just win a championship, I think it will, you know, the egos will be faltered.
Yeah, you definitely got to think that he's more receptive to a change in scenery, a change in system, when it's kind of looking like if he sticks where he is, there's a lot of nothing on down that road. So I think there's reason for hope. Whether it's...
Yeah, I mean, he never chose D'Antoni. He never chose D'Antoni before. This would be him pretty much choosing D'Antoni.
Yeah, but by not exercising his no trade clause, that's essentially choosing D'Antoni, or, you know, willing to look over D'Antoni rather. Like, he knows Mike D'Antoni's here, right? That's no secret. Like, he's, Mike D'Antoni's not hiding anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it's very apparent that he'd be under Mike D'Antoni's tutelage if he were to come to the Rockets. And it's fair to say that he's accepted that, and he's willing to go here, come here anyways.
Yeah, and I think that just the part of Melo's career that he's at, he realizes that he's not going to be the best player on a championship team at this point. And so I think that changes things for him too. You know, he realizes that there's this superpower in the NBA, and the only way that he's going to beat it is to, you know, be another superpower with, you know, players better than himself.
I don't think superpower is a strong enough word. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like a bully.
You know that giant asteroid that hit the dinosaurs?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the Warriors.
Yeah, it feels like that. It definitely feels like that. Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. They're both matured. I mean, like, Mike D'Antoni has a totally different perspective in life than he did 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, he doesn't have a mustache anymore. So, I mean, that's...
That's it. That was it the whole time.
I mean, like, clearly he's changed his mind on a lot of things, right? He's gotten better with managing player egos. I think that's fair. He's managed James Harden's ego perfectly fine. I mean, they're best friends. I mean, this is something that came out of James Harden's mouth, like that he and Mike D'Antoni are best friends. I think that could be a big part in this, right? Chris Paul and James Harden kind of teaming up and selling Carmelo on D'Antoni, right? Because James Harden's played a year under D'Antoni, and it was awesome, right? It yielded a lot of fruits. 55 wins, second round, you know, hard fought second round series. That's something you could sell to Carmelo. Like, hey, if you buy in, you get this, right?
James Harden's definitely the good cop in that situation, right? Like, he's like, it's great, we got 55 wins, like you said, everything's awesome and fun, Mike is really chill, we just gotta run the pick and roll, and we're gonna take other teams apart, and we're gonna have a good time, our team culture is kind of laid back. And then Chris Paul's like, right, also, if you mess us up for us, Melo, if you mess us up for us, if you think you're number one when you're actually number three, I will come for you.
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul is so instrumental in all this too, because, you know, obviously when Dwight was here, Melo had the opportunity to come to the Rockets, and that wasn't something clearly that he wanted to do. So it's not just, you know, a collection of stars. It's the fact that it's someone that's this close to Melo. You know, they're obviously very good friends outside of the NBA. And James Harden seems to have gotten an invitation to the Banana Boat. You know, hey, Wade might get bought out, and then there's a minimum contract for the Rockets to sign, and then, you know, the Rockets are the best Rockets team in history. That's the path we're going down.
Yeah. I mean, that's the plan. That has to be the plan. There's nothing else that matters at this point. They have to just improve the most they possibly can in this moment.
Yeah.
And if that includes giving a minimum to Dwayne Wade, we'll see.
I mean, they have their biennial exception. Hey, you can't count that out. So I mean, like, here's what I'll say. Daryl Morey certainly wants to do this, right? He's driven to get this done. If he wants to do this, he's got to do this, like, before training camp, like, as soon as possible. Like, they all need to get in a room together ASAP, like, if they as soon as they possibly can, so they can talk about this, like, and so they can, you know, and so they can get their reps in, because the team's already starting to work out in Las Vegas together. Clint Capella leaked the video on his Instagram of those guys, you know, working out together. Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, James Harden, you know, and, you know, the rest of the team, they're already working out together. They need to get some reps in as quickly as, like, because I think the sooner you get this done, the more likely it is to succeed. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, they're going to need time on their side. I think you're right. Like, we want to do all the things quickly instead of later.
They need the Knicks to hire a freaking GM or not hire one or burn in flames or something.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty hard in New York, man. They, like, Steve Mills is running things. He just signed Tim Hardaway to a $72 million deal, which might be a good thing. You know, the Rockets might be able to swindle the Knicks into taking a crappy offer. That's definitely on the table.
Oh boy, they just got rebuffed by everybody too. It's not looking good for the Knicks. They're having a hard time hiring anybody, and they're sort of the polar opposite of the Rockets. As much as the Rockets have repeatedly shown themselves to be a top flight organization this summer, the Knicks are just crashing and burning in a way which is very gratifying for people who think they should crash and burn. And I may or may not be one of those.
And the Kings look awesome at all this, right? Like, they're not the worst organization in basketball anymore. It's the Knicks, and it's not even close anymore. The Kings actually had a pretty good offseason, and the Knicks had actually, the exact opposite, right? And we're talking about, like, GMs are turning down them. It's not the other way around. Like, prospective general managers are, deciding, hey, this isn't worth this crap. Okay, first of all, what's the logic behind not giving your general manager full control of basketball ops? Like, where does that come from? Like, because that's the report that came out from Ian Begley today that the Knicks were willing to hire David Griffin if David Griffin were to not have full control of basketball ops. And I'm just kind of like, what do you think a general manager does? You tweeted this out, Taylor. Like, what exactly do they expect David Griffin to do? Like, is he supposed to just stand there and do press conferences? Like,
On the other hand, David Griffin could have taken that job and done nothing and made, $4 or $5 million a year or whatever they wanted, or $2 million a year if, they're giving him the Chauncey Billups. I mean, if they don't want him to do anything, hey, that's free money. But, if they would like to be a competent organization ever again,
Would
they should
they?
probably that maybe that's the plan. The plan is to never be a competent organization again. They want to burn in flames.
It's what's familiar for them. It's comfortable, right?
Yeah. I mean, how is Dolan gonna make appearances at NBA games if he's on tour with his blues band?
The straight shot. I want to say that I feel bad for taking pleasure in the Knicks' suffering, but I really don't. I just, as long as James Dolan is there,
I
he's
feel
just.
bad for the fan base, not the Knicks, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, I 100% agree with that take. The fans do not deserve this, but that team absolutely does. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, like,
So bad for Porzingis.
yeah, I mean, and what does Adam Silver do here? Like, because you kind of figure he has to step in at some point, right? Like, he stepped in with Sam Hinkie, who I thought was a really competent general manager. He stepped in other situations. I mean, can you step in to kind of disrupt an incompetent owner? Like, is that possible? Is that under the like in the CB under the CBA? Is that legally possible? Like, is it possible for him to out James Dolan, like, for just being dumb and just being bad at his job?
No, he's gonna have to find some kind of like a really gross thing James Dolan said one time.
Yeah, we got to bug his
Yeah.
phone. We got to bug his phone. You got to catch him saying something racist. Like,
We've got to Sterling this thing.
that's what we got to do. I mean, you got to get things done. If you're Knicks, like, if you're Spike Lee, I mean, that's 100% what you're doing, right? Like,
Right?
he has.
Spike Lee is trying to incite racism from James Dolan right now.
Spike's like, James, how do you feel about my movies?
And he's the guy who probably has more access to the facilities than any other fan would. So I mean, you gotta figure he's plotting things to, like, get in there, find a phone, and like just plant a bug and get out, and find some negative crap, leak it to TMZ, and get him out of there. I mean, you gotta figure that that's what Spike Lee's planning.
He's gonna
Maybe
call
that's what
Michael
Charles Oakley
Rappaport
was
to
doing.
go in there. Yeah, that's what Charles Oakley's doing.
Charles Oakley's trying to get Dolan out of the office.
Yeah.
You gotta get Dolan out of that. You gotta get rid of Dolan. I don't know if like how much they want to get rid of them. It's oftentimes hard to tell because sometimes it's really more what the owners want. It's the problem. Like Donald Sterling pissed off the owners and made them look bad more than anything else. Or like Sam Hinkie was, making. They didn't like. It's the owners and their perception that really matters more than anything else. So if James Dolan manages to piss off all the other owners or make them think he's an embarrassment to them or something, maybe we'll see him gotten rid of. But good luck.
Yeah, and I don't really think the other owners want to get rid of James Dolan. I mean, they're kind of benefiting from this, right? Like, you get to swindle James Dolan into taking all your bad contracts and whatever, and getting all the draft picks. Like, it seems like a pretty good situation for the other owners, and they're still making money. People are still buying Knicks tickets because that arena still sells out. There's still a massive TV market. They're as big a part of the TV deal as anybody. And yeah, I mean, so let's go and talk about a Rockets team with Carmelo Anthony. Like, what's the ceiling for that team? Do you think that team beats the Warriors? Like, if they manage to keep Clint Capella, if they give up Ryan Anderson, and we're assuming some non-consequential part to make the deal work, do you think that's a good enough team to at least contend with the Warriors?
No, but it's the best we're going to get.
Yeah, with how familiar the Warriors already are with each other, certainly not in year one. Now, if you can convince, you know, some other guys maybe to come next year or
in a boat.
Something, but currently, yeah, I mean, currently the way that the Warriors are constructed, it's probably not going to happen. But this does give you a puncher's chance. I mean,
does it get you to the second seed? Like, does it get you for sure over the Spurs? Because that's still in question, right? We don't know if they're going to be a better team than the Spurs, because the Spurs just poop out 60 wins every year. So, I mean, that's still on the table that they might not get the second seed this year. So, are they the second seed in the West if they get Carmelo Anthony?
I think so.
Yeah, most likely, but there is no for sure over the Spurs. There will never be such a thing. They could probably be over the Spurs, but you can never take that for granted. I think it depends on what Melo does for the team and how well Chris Paul and James Harden get along together. There's still a lot of question marks here. If the question marks come up right, then yeah, everything is totally great and copacetic, but there is still a chance that things could blow up in their faces in a pretty unpleasant way.
Right, and I think what you said on the last podcast is pretty clear. I think their ceiling goes up, but their floor dramatically decreases, right? Because you're safe with Ryan Anderson. You're going to have a really good team, and is the blow-up factor, like whatever, that's a lot lower than if you get Carmelo Anthony and something were to happen, right? Like it's a lot safer if you don't get Carmelo Anthony, but at the same time, the ceiling is a lot higher.
I will say this. I do think that in the event that, you know, Chris Paul were to get injured, I'm not going to say Harden because, you know, Harden's doesn't have an injury history, but if Chris Paul were to get injured, it does. Yeah, I did too. But it does probably help things a little bit to have Melo instead of Anderson, because then you at least have more of more dimensions to your team still. I think it would help the Rockets if Chris Paul were to get injured.
Yeah, it'd be some insurance.
Yeah, you have a secondary creator in the case that happens. I agree with you guys. Like that's the ceiling for this team. Like, I'm still worried about it. Like, I want it to happen for media purposes. So it's a lot more fun to cover. It's a lot more fun to talk about. Like, this team is, like, the amount of star power in terms of, like, the amount of media coverage they're going to get, the amount of stuff we're going to have to talk about. Like, going into training camp, it's going to be nuts. Like, it'd be absolutely nuts. This team would probably be the second or third most covered team in the NBA next season. Like, I think that's fair to say. After the Cavs or the Warriors, I think it's probably the Rockets if they get Melo. Just because you'd have a lot of national reporters just fly in like they do with every super team that's created, right? I'm all for it. Like, I'm all for more crazy stuff happening. I'm all for more intrigue. But yeah, these are some of the positives that could happen if you get Melo. I just wanted to have a positive podcast about Carmelo Anthony because, I don't want people to think I don't want this to work out, because I do. Obviously, I want this to work out. I want Carmelo Anthony. If you were to come here, I want it to be a good team. And I'm more than willing to admit that I'm wrong if it were to work out. I'll come on here and I'll say I'm wrong. I've done it before. Like, when I wasn't a fan of the Josh Smith signing when he came off of the Pistons, and I was wrong about that. I admitted I was wrong about that. I'm okay with saying I'm wrong. That's not the issue here. I'm just worried about, you know, the floor. Like, you're gonna have a lower floor with Melo because there's a risk that it doesn't work out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The ceiling is the roof. The ceiling is the roof, and the floor is the ground.
Right. Right.
No, but in all seriousness, I think that adding Melo adds almost an element of chaos, which is exactly what you have to have in this NBA to potentially win a championship.
No, I agree with you. You got to up the risk profile. You got to try doing it. And like there is an element of like, hey, like the Warriors are making it work with an insane amount of playmakers. You're talking about like they have like 3 or 4 playmakers on their roster. So I mean, like the fit issues don't really concern me more than the locker room dynamics. So I'm like I can buy into the Rockets figuring it out, like figuring out their offense, figuring out their defense, because other teams have done it before. You know, you look at the Heat, you look at the Warriors, you look at other teams, other super teams in the past. I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned about the other stuff. And the Mike D'Antoni stuff, really, that's my chief concern, right? The Mike D'Antoni stuff combined with the fact that we're kind of depending on Melo to become a different player. And it's hard for me to overlook the giant sample size of him in the NBA, if that makes sense. So yeah, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at Renish News. Follow Forrest on Twitter at Do Nots. Follow Taylor on Twitter at Taylor L. Pate. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the podcast. Give us a good rating, even if you didn't enjoy the podcast. That really helps us out. Thanks, guys.